Turn with me again to the book of Matthew, chapter or fifth chapter. And in this chapter, again, we're seeing this word blessed, or as I mentioned before, we commonly pronounce it blessed. I think that this has an understanding here of being satisfied. Blessed. I think that's what it means. Satisfied. Now, we've already looked at a couple of these, what we call the Beatitudes. We've looked at the poverty in spirit, poor in spirit, brokenness of heart, self-distrust, entire dependence. Then we also looked at that next one, blessed are they that mourn. Maybe a little more difficult to explain and understand, to grasp, but seeing ourselves as unworthy, seeing ourselves as utter helplessness, or in utter helplessness and hopelessness, mourning leads to repentance and conversion. I won't go on into all of that to re-preach those two, but I want us to focus in on verse number 5 this evening, but if you're able to, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? And I'm going to take the time to read all of these again, if for no other reason than by the time we get through them all, they'll nearly be memorized by us. How about that? I'm going to begin reading with verse number 3 here of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Father in heaven, we pause a moment this morning as we have opened up your word and read from your gospel to us. I pray that you would make it more than just words this morning, that you would open our heart, help us to listen, to receive from your message to us this morning. Give us that anointing that is needed, both to speaker as well as to hearer. Each one of us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Blessed, it just doesn't seem to go right, does it? The meek are to be the blessed ones. Now let's flip over, if nothing else, flip over to Matthew chapter 11, at least in our mind. And read again and have refreshed in our memory again a few more words of what Jesus had to say about this particular word. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, as Matthew records it here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." He's telling us there very simply that we are to learn, we are to follow His pattern, we are to follow His example. Now that's not hard for us to understand. He's our Savior, He is supposed to be our Master, He is to be our Lord. Now we need to be talking and reminding ourselves about Lordship salvation. It's a change of mastery when we come to know Jesus Christ, when we ask for His forgiveness. We no longer serve sin, but we follow after Christ. Learn of me, he says, for I am meek. Now he does go on to say a few more things. Lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But he said, learn of me because, or for, I am meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is our example. Do you see that example this morning? That somewhere along the line, there is something to be said about an individual, a Christian, you and I, not select few, but as a Christian, we are to be meek. I don't know about you, but I think I've said it before, but I grew up thinking that somebody that was meek was somebody that I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be a doormat. I didn't want somebody wiping their feet on me. Because in my mind, I had the thought, and perhaps you've had the thought, that somebody that was meek was somebody that was weak. What does the word meek mean? If we go to the dictionary, we may have an understanding, a somewhat of an understanding there, that the word meek means gentle, exhibiting patience, exhibiting humility. Which humility can be a put-on humility. That's not the kind of humility that meekness is referring to, though. But perhaps another word that is involved with this word meek is what Jesus was wanting to drive at more than anything else. Not that he didn't want us to be gentle or exhibit patience or exhibit humility within the confines of this verse, blessed are the meek. But maybe there's another word that would involve greater aspect of what Jesus was wanting to portray that also would include these other things, and that would be the word submission. Now, sometimes we have this thought in our mind that submission would be someone who is easily imposed on as well. Richard Trench says that it is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings, God's dealings with us, as good. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good, and therefore, without disputing or resisting. William Fitch said, meekness is yieldedness to God, submissiveness to His will, preparedness to accept whatever He may give, and readiness to take the lowest place. I don't know if that helps clear anything up or not. But Jesus is saying the person that yields, the person that submits, the person that gives themselves without resisting to God is the blessed person. Peter shares with us a little bit about this word. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3, he uses the word meek in connection with a quiet spirit. Meek and a quiet spirit. Some of us aren't very quiet. Now some of you are. Some of us just aren't very quiet. Except for when we come to church. Then we've learned a behavior there that goes against our nature. So that when the preacher asks the question, are you satisfied with Jesus, we're just quiet. It's not that we're not satisfied, it's that we're quiet. Can I tell you this morning, without popping your bubble, that's not the quiet that Peter's talking about? I don't want to get off on the word quiet. I should stick with the word meek this morning, shouldn't I? What is your definition, or what is your mental picture of what meekness is or what meekness is not? We probably all have some kind of a mental picture. We have something in our mind to define, some kind of an idea to express, some kind of a picture to paint of what meekness is, being meek. Blessed are the meek. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Now this word used here probably means something, or at least somewhat differently than what we would commonly think. I want to jump over to Romans chapter 6. And look in Romans chapter 6 for a little while. As I've already mentioned, that there is a bigger word. The word submission would have a broad sense within the word or the definition of meekness, and a fuller sense of what Jesus is wanting out of His people in this beatitude. Submission to His will, to submission to God, a yieldedness and a submissiveness and a preparedness is what Fitch said about accepting whatever it is that God gives us. Romans chapter 6, verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Here is the mental picture that we can begin to paint for ourselves of what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the meek. Yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now I want to give that to you in the Amplified. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him who you obey? Did you get that? Did you understand that? Whoever it is that we are yielding ourselves, continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will. You see, that is the fact of life. That is the way of life. We are giving ourselves, we are yielding ourselves, we are following some, we could say, worldview, we could say, leader. We're following something, someone. And so Paul is telling us here in Romans chapter 6 that that is indeed the fact of our lives, that we are surrendering ourselves continually to someone. You are the slaves of that person, whoever it is that you are obeying, whether he said it's be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Verse number 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. You were once the slaves of sin, but you have become obedient with all of your heart to God. I like how the Amplified brings that little phrase in. Not exactly the way that the King James does. Ye have obeyed from the heart. But the Amplified said, you have become obedient with all your heart. With all your heart. Not just a portion, not just a little bit, not just a segment, or not even just 95%. But with all your heart, you have become obedient to the standard of teaching. You have become obedient to the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Ye became the servants of righteousness. What does that mean? What is he saying there? What is he telling us in that verse that being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness? What he's saying very simply is this, that we have yielded ourselves to the conformity of the divine. You have given, you have submitted yourselves to be conformed to his thought and his purpose and his action. Learn of me, for I am meek. Wasn't Jesus always submitted and yielded to the will of the Father? That's the pattern. Even when Jesus faced the wrath of his Father because of all the sins of mankind being placed upon him, and his Father couldn't bear to see, Jesus was realizing what was before him. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now. Paul's reminding the people, the church, the people of this church, that they had one time yielded themselves to iniquity. Even as you gave yourselves to be a servant to sin, he said, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. The Amplified said, so now yield your bodily members and faculties, everything about you, once for all as servants to righteousness, right being and doing, which leads to sanctification. A holy life. I'm afraid that the tendency is in most of our at least immature thinking, shallow thinking, is that we can get by just by being what we call saved. Wherein really Jesus is saying, here, if you really truly want to be blessed, it's going to take a deeper something beyond the surface. Oh, I prayed a prayer and I'm going to make it. Blessed are the meek. The meek, the submitted one, the yielded one, the one that gives themselves. The New American Standard said, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness. Now we would have within our human mind, within our humanity, within the confines of the nature of mankind, we would have something rise up in us against and opposing the word being a slave. We are endowed by our Creator that all men are created equal. And being created equal, we are endowed by our Creator to be made free or to be free. We don't want to be slaves. I suppose that we all believe that. We all stand for that. And so because we believe that and stand for that in the temporal means, it has a bearing within us on the spiritual. I don't want to be a slave, but the reality is we are either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. We are either yielded to Satan or we are yielded to God. That's exactly what Paul says in verse 16 that we've already looked at. Maybe we need to go back and reemphasize what the word blessed means. If you recall, looking at the Amplified and what the word blessed means on the previous two verses, it gave a little bit of a different definition or explanation on the word blessed. The word blessed here in this particular verse is comparable to the previous two. Happy, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation. But there's an additional clause in here that bears the entirety. Regardless of outward condition. So what does that have to do with where you were? I was talking about being a slave. A slave in our mind has this connotation that we are bound, we are in bondage to somebody. But when we think about being a slave to righteousness, he is saying that we are blessed in that, not based on outward condition, not based on driving a Lincoln compared to a Chevette. Maybe you've never driven either one of them. You don't know how to compare that. But you just take the small, boxy, you know, rough ride to a nice, comfortable air ride, and you'll know what I'm talking about. It's not outward condition that we're looking at here. We're talking about being a slave to righteousness, which produces a happiness deep down inside that cannot be adjusted by the air ride of a Lincoln Town Car. Blessed. Happy. Meekness is yieldedness to God. Could I suggest this morning that the fullness of the word meekness in a person's life does not come, bear with me here, it does not come at the altar of prayer by grace. Now, it is given by grace. It does come from God. But it is a learned experience where we grow in His grace. And meekness becomes a part of, and we are learning more of what it means to be meek. You say, well, wait a minute now. Well, if you overstep the bound of meekness, and your heart is really yielded to God, then there's going to be a voice of the Holy Spirit in the form of a conscience check or an internal check. And you will sense the Holy Spirit saying, oh, you've overstepped a boundary right there. And your immediate response is going to be to back up and redo, if necessary, to apologize. Meekness, the fullness of yieldedness to Him will be a continued learned characteristic as we continue to yield ourselves. Because within the confines of the submission of to His will, to submit ourselves to His will. We can submit to the known now, but there will come times when the additional will of God is revealed to us or made known to us, and we are going to have to, at that point as well, be meek or submit ourselves to that revealed will of God. Jesus told His disciples, I have a whole bunch of stuff to tell you, but you're not able to bear it right now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. He will lead you. He will develop in you what needs to be developed. And so we look at it for ourselves as well. While we submit to what we know right now, and we say right now, oh God, I'm giving myself to You. It doesn't matter what. Stand boldly and say, come what will, come what may, I'm going through. Well, that's a good thing to say right here and now, but a few weeks down the road or months or years, we may come to a position where we are given an additional thing from God, revealed more of His will to us and for us, and it's at that point that we are going to have to resubmit. Prepared to accept whatever He may give. Readiness to take the lowest place. That's what Ralph Earle tells us. Those who accept His will be ready to take that lowest place in order for us to reign with Him. reign with him? Sounds like an ego trip. I don't think reigning with him will be that we are lording it over anybody or being, somebody's big time master or anything like that. It's going to be a different kind of a reign. But it does mean, it does include that we will be with him. There will be joyous times. Take the lowest place now to be exalted later. Inherit the earth. That's foreign to modern philosophy, isn't it? Taking the lowest place now to inherit the earth. You see, inheriting the earth in modern philosophy would be to do whatever it takes to get to the top. To get to the top now, to do whatever it takes. I will succeed. I will get to the top. I will make it. Modern philosophy speaks about the here and now. Business today speaks about the here and now and to do whatever it takes to succeed. But kingdom principles, hear me on this if you don't get anything else, kingdom principles are often opposed to modern philosophy. Kingdom principles often are opposed to modern philosophy. And the kingdom principle that Jesus is wanting us to grasp and to understand here is that to be happy or to be blessed, to have God's favor and his salvation, regardless of our outward condition, we must be meek, we must be yielded, we must be submitted, we must be given entirely to Him as His loved slave. Yielding ourselves, our members, our faculties, everything about us to Him. Prepared to accept whatever He gives. Submission to His will. Meekness is yieldedness to God. Submissiveness to His will. Preparedness to accept whatever He may give. And readiness to take the lowest place. It is that temper of spirit in which we accept His dealings with us as good. And therefore without disputing or resisting. Oh, it brings me to another song that is very familiar to many of us. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. Blessed are the meek. We can really forget about the reward at the end. It's simply the blessed part now. Blessed in being submitted to His will. Really would be reward enough. Jesus is challenging us to take something deeper than just the superficial. To take it deeper. To really have a heart throb of blessing when we yield ourselves to Him. Would you stand with me this morning?